Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. This is a significant scripture for our church. And this is something that last year I feel like God really spoke to us in terms of something that God wanted to do in us and through us. And this is where the number 72 comes from. And if you know kind of the story, right back here, it says assembly 71. So we started laughing that what would we do when 72 people came here? What was 72? It seemed like such a random number. But in prayer, we gathered together and we really began asking God that he would raise up 72 people. And as we were praying, it just came to mind that 72 was in the Bible. 72 wasn't just a random number. 72 is in the Bible. And the Lord led us to Luke chapter 10 and showed us what 72 is. And what we believe that God was saying to us is that 72 isn't just a number of people, but 72 was what those people were. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Who are the 72? And like I said, I want to go through this chapter and kind of bring up some new insight on this, but I am thrilled. You know, like as a church, we're little. I think of us as a cute little church, but I am so excited about what God is doing. And a lot of churches have a lot of different programs. We're small and very simple. But what I'm excited about is 72. And we're going to talk about that. And what the 72 people were is they were people who got Jesus, while he was there, gathered and sent them out to be ministers. So as we read the story, like this isn't about Jesus drawing the crowds. This was about Jesus's disciples, his 12, but even broader than that, these unnamed 72, this group of unnamed people who were forerunners to where Christ was going to go. And they were ministers. And one of my prayers for us is that we would all be ministers, not just the person up here, you know, that we would all be ministers, knowing that each of us are called wherever we're going, whether that's at work, our home, our neighborhood, our family, whatever it is, that we are the salt of the earth, we are the light of the world, and that we are ones who are sent out. So that's why we talk again and again about gathering and scattering. Gathering and scattering. We gather together. We greet one another. We love each other. We are in this together. We're a family and we are the army of God. And we meet together. We encourage each other. We fix our eyes on Jesus. That's why we gather together. We got to get our eyes on Jesus again because life's hard. Life's distracting. All these things happen. And to encourage one another, that faith would rise up. And then we scatter. We go to where God has placed us. And everything that we do is sacred. You know this. Our marriage is sacred. Our homes are sacred. Our jobs, like all of these are given to us by God that we would walk with him in it. See, it's not just about making money or just having a place to stay. These are from God for God, right? And that's what I'm excited about. I love gathering together, but I love it when we leave. Not because I want you to leave, okay? I mean, you might think that, but I'm so excited because do you know what? We're little, but we are all over the place, right? Yeah. We're all over the place. There's ministry happening all over the place through you. Isn't that awesome? It's awesome. So here's the word, and we're just going to kind of jump through it and bring some stuff up. So Luke chapter 10 says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others. Appointed. Do you hear that? Appointed. So, beloved, you need to know that you, if you are in Christ, you're appointed to be part of the 72. It's not this, like, you guys need to do this. You've been called by Jesus for such a time as this for his purposes to be done. Amen? That's awesome. Can we wrap up and call it a day? Like, that's good news. Appointed 72 others, no name faces. and sent them on ahead of them, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. So you need to know this. Like, this wasn't just, hey, go, guys. Just go find a place. Jesus sent them out to places where he himself was going to go. He sent them on ahead of him. It was kind of like John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a forerunner to Christ. He was sent to prepare the way of the Lord. So this is what the 72 were. Jesus was going to go to certain cities. His ministry was coming. The kingdom of God was coming. Jesus, the Christ himself, was going to come to these cities. And he sent the 72 out before him. To do what? To prepare the way. So this is beautiful, because if you think about this, relate it back to us. All of us are sent. We're appointed by God to go. But I want you to think about this. You're not going to places just because you should do this. This is what Christians do. Share your faith already. Like, do that. No, this is so much more. We're appointed by God with this message, and we are supposed to go and prepare the way from the Lord, knowing that Jesus is coming behind us. Isn't that awesome? Think about this. Jesus is coming behind you. Jesus is going to visit that very same place after you are there. Think about that. Think about family members you've been praying for that you know that God is sending you to love and with the message of Christ, with the love of Christ, to prepare the way, knowing that Jesus is coming behind you. Or think about work. You know, more than just the paycheck, but going knowing that Jesus is coming behind you. And your job is to just lay the seed, the truth, the good news, that you would live that out, knowing that Jesus is going to visit behind you. It relieves all the pressure. It's not your job to convince people. God is the one. Jesus is the one who convinces people. The Holy Spirit's job is to lead people to righteousness, convict of sin, and lead to righteousness. Our job is just to go prepare the way. Here's the message. Here's the hope. This is the Christ. He's the answer for the whole world. And Jesus is coming behind you. So, beloved, you need to know this. Wherever you are sent out, Jesus is coming behind you. He's sending you out to places where he wants to go. Do you see this? He's sending you to places where he wants to go. So that job's more than a job. That neighborhood's more than just a neighborhood. He's sending you to places where he wants to go. You are the body of Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? Yes. I love it. No one should be bored as a Christian. This is amazing. We get to partner with God for the epic battle between good and evil. Because God so loved the world that he sent his son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So he sent them out two by two. Another thing I get is this: you're not alone. Part of the reason we gather together is that you would know that you are not alone. You might be the only person in your neighborhood. You might be the only person in your family. You might be the only person in your workplace. Whatever that is, you're not alone. Two by two, we're in this together. And here's what's beautiful, is that I am with you. You are with me. We're all in this together. Wherever you're going, we're in this together. You're not alone. Your burden, your calling is not just yours. It's ours. Is that awesome? We're in this together. So as he's sending him out, he says this: the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. This is a profound verse. The harvest is plentiful. The problem is the laborers. The laborers are few. So our job is to pray. Pray to the God of the harvest to send forth laborers into the harvest. You know, I've always looked at this and thought, the harvest is plentiful. There's a lot of harvest out there. We just need to go. There's a lot. It's our job. And yeah, I think there is some of this, but I really believe that this is actually talking about an urgency. Jesus is talking about an urgency. So as a farmer, if he looks out at his crops and sees a harvest, he knows that he has this window to get it done. Now is the time to harvest. Harvest isn't just this, you know, ongoing forever thing, and we get to it, and when we get to it, it's just kind of sitting there. When it's harvest time, it's all hands on deck, and we live in wine country. You know this. Like, when it's crush season, it's on. People are working long, hard hours to bring in the harvest, and beloved, it's harvest time. Not in the sense that it's like, oh, we have the rest of our lives to do the work of God. Jesus is saying, it now is the time. There is an urgency to this moment. And Jesus is inviting the 72 into the urgency of the moment. It's harvest time. We need laborers now. Beloved, with everything that I have as a shepherd of Jesus Christ, I'm telling you that now is the time. There's an urgency to this moment. The reason you are where you are is because God has called you. He wants to go there himself. And now is the time. And you are the laborer. He's telling this to the laborers. Do you see this? You're the laborers. And ask God for more. Ask God for laborers to go into his harvest. It's his. We're doing this for him, with him. Right? It's his harvest. And we get to be a part of it. So, beloved, I implore you. And I'm asking Jesus, give us revelation into this, that we would see this, believe this, know this, that we're called to be laborers. And my prayer for us as a church is that we would be laborers, co-laborers with Christ and co-laborers with each other. It would be like an army. That's what I'm praying for our little church, that we would be an army. And actually, I read this verse this week, and every time I read this, I'm like, oh, yes, Lord. This is 1 Chronicles. It's talking about David. And this is right when, after Saul had died, this is when this verse is coming in. And as you know, he was called to be a king. He was anointed for that. And the Lord brought him people. There was an army that was formed underneath David even before he was king. But listen to this, 1 Chronicles 12:21. It says, they helped David, talking about this army, against the band of raiders, for they were all mighty men of valor and were commanders in the army. I'm going to spread that out a little bit. So they helped David against the band of raiders, against the battle. They were all mighty men and women of valor and were commanders in the army. They had influence, they had power, they had authority. For from day to day, men came to David to help him until there was a great army, like an army of God. Come, Lord Jesus, come. God, make us an army, like an army of God. Amen? Amen. 72. Let's do this. And God was saying, pray earnestly to send out laborers. And that word send out isn't just this casual word. To send out is the same word used to expel a demon, to cast out a demon. That's the same word where Jesus says, pray earnestly to the Father that he would send out laborers into the harvest field. That God would thrust them out. See, to cast out a demon is no small thing. It's a thing of power. It's not something that's just going to happen just by casually walking into it. Jesus is saying, in the same way that there needs to be power to cast out a demon, there needs to be power from Jesus to unleash the labor into the harvest field. This is a miracle of God, which is the fruit of the prayer of the saints. Send forth laborers. This is a miracle that happens, that the laborers get thrust out into the harvest field. Isn't that amazing? It's an act of God, and it is the fruit of prayer that we would be thrust out into the harvest field. Beloved, may God raise up laborers and thrust us out. And you know the difference when you're like, you know, I should really share my faith versus fire from God that is in your belly that you know you're like, I've got to go. I carry the hope of Christ in me. I'm sent. I'm called. This is mine in Christ. And you must go because you're being thrust out. Do you know what I think of? Pentecost. Pentecost, Jesus had ascended. He said, wait in Jerusalem until you have power from on high. So they were praying, God, send out laborers. You said that we're supposed to go into the whole world to make disciples, but we're waiting right now. And the Holy Spirit showed up, and do you know what they did? They held hands and worshiped God. And then they went home. No, they were thrust out. Do you see that? They were thrust out and all of them became evangelists. Do you see what I'm saying? All of them had Jesus on their lips. All of them were speaking about the glory of God and the hope that they have in Jesus. They were thrust out. It wasn't like Peter was like, okay, the Holy Spirit is here. Let's get our plan together. Now's the time, guys. We need to go. No, they were thrust out. God just shoved them out. And they just began speaking and living this, the glory of God. Isn't that awesome? May that be so about us every time we gather, that we would remember Jesus and that we would be thrust out with the power of God, with his mind and heart. As we go, as we're sent out, that we are thrust out into this harvest field because now is the time. Do you see this? Now's the time. This isn't a forever game. Now is the time. And then after that, he says, go on your way. Behold, I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Lambs in the midst of wolves. You know what? It seems like we're less. Seems like we're weaker. But I want you to know that I want you to read the end of the passage, okay? Because there is this feeling of we're just sheep and they are wolves. They're going to bite us. Yeah, they will. They'll bite us. But let's read the end of the passage. You know what this also speaks of? We don't force people. You know? We're not wolves. We don't force our way. We go as sheep. We're gentle, we're kind, we're fluffy. Fair. We go out as sheep amongst the wolves. And then he goes on, this is Jesus talking and says, don't carry a money bag. Bless the homes that we're in. Verse 5, speak peace to where you are, remain there. But it says, if people reject you, shake the dust off and keep on going this. But saying this, nevertheless, this is verse 11, nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. It's this word that, okay, you go. God's going to provide for you. You don't need to do anything. God's going to take after you. It's talking about don't greet anyone on the road because greetings back there were this long, drawn-out ordeal. He's saying it's urgent. You need to be about the business of God. Don't waste your time. Do what I've called you to do. So don't greet people. Don't get distracted through these things. Stay where you're supposed to stay as long as it's time to stay. But when it's time to leave, go. Go. Shake your feet. Move on. But then it says this, to heal the sick and to proclaim the kingdom of God. To preach and heal wherever you go. Beloved, this isn't for special people. This is for the laborers. To heal the sick and preach that the kingdom of God is here. Is that awesome? And then after that, Jesus, verse 13 through 16, is talking about people who aren't going to receive this message. And this is so sad, but you know this. Not everyone's going to receive the message. Not everyone's going to listen to you. Some people are going to laugh at you. Some people are going to grow cold to you. They're going to reject you altogether. But they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the Christ. They're rejecting Jesus. And Jesus warns them. He says, woe to you. Woe to you. Beloved, the same message is for the cities and towns that we're from. When they are unrepented, woe to you. Honestly, guys, this there's judgment coming to this world. There's judgment coming. That's why Jesus is saying it's harvest time now. But our job is just to go, and their job is to say yes to Jesus and to respond to Jesus. But there's going to be people aren't going to turn. But you need to know that they're rejecting Jesus. They're not rejecting you. So don't take it personal. You're fine. Keep going. Shake your dust off the feet and keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep looking for those who are hungry. Keep knocking on every single door. When you go to the grocery store, be asking, God, would you have me talk to someone? When you're parking your car in your garage, look to your neighbors. Do I need to talk to someone? You know, at the beginning of every day, God, what do you have for me? Knowing that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Now is the time. Now is the time. What do you have for me, Jesus? This is the part I want to leave with you, though. The last part of this, verse 17 through 20, says, the 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, don't rejoice in this, that their spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Amazing. So verse 17, the 72 come back. I don't know how long they were gone, but they were psyched out. They were so excited. Why? Because they went. Jesus sent them out and they went. And when they went, boldly obeying Jesus, guess what? God showed up miraculously, powerfully, such a way that they saw God move through them. 72 no-name people who just said yes to what Jesus was calling them to do. They were so excited. They came back to Jesus and they're like, even the demons submit to us in the name of Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Yes. Yeah. Even the demons. Oh, man. So Jesus, listening to them, is just like, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He's talking about Ezekiel. Ezekiel paints this picture of Satan when this fall came. And let me read this, and then I'll explain a little bit. This is Ezekiel. You were an anointed guardian cherub, speaking of Lucifer, who used to be an angel of light. I placed you, you were on the holy mountain of God, in the midst of the stones of fire you walked. You were blameless in your ways. From the days you were created till unrighteousness was found in you, in the abundance of your trade. You were filled with violence in your midst, and you sinned. So I cast you as a profane thing from the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O guardian cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. This is something that happened. So here's the deal. Satan still has access to the throne of God. We know this. We see it in Job. Like, we know that he's the accuser of the saints. Like, until it's all done, he still has access to God. So what is this talking about? It's like, your place is no longer here. And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Do you know why I said like lightning? It's not like it was a lightning crash, but it was like this. As soon as it was done, it was done. And beloved, you know what's so exciting about this? Jesus isn't saying that this is repeating again and again. What he is saying is this. Every time we walk in this, we walk in this authority that Jesus has given us over scorpions and certain serpents. No one's going to hurt you. It's this authority that's, see, all authority has been given to Jesus, and he's delegated authority to us. And when we walk in that authority over the principalities of darkness, guess what? It affirms this, that he is no longer where he was. He has been brought low. He has been conquered. He is done. So, beloved, when we walk in authority, it's like this. Jesus is like, yep, that happened. That happened. He was cast down like that. Amen. See, Jesus is superior over the enemy. I want you to remind you of that. Jesus is superior over the enemy, and he has given you authority as well. Do you know that? Oh, that we would. So in the midst of all this rejoicing, though, Jesus has a caution. And this is what I want to leave you guys with. Because honestly, I see the 72 and what they're doing. I'm like, that's awesome. I want all of that and some. And realizing even something that I really enjoy ministry, powerful ministry. Like, I love it when God does things. I want to spend the rest of my life doing that. I love it. You know, it's so exciting. But the caution from Jesus was this. It says this, nevertheless, don't rejoice in this. Why? You sent us out to do it. Why would we not rejoice in this? Don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Oh my gosh. Don't rejoice in this awesome ministry. It's good, but don't rejoice in it. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. You know what that's speaking of? Okay, you went as a 72. You were doing the work of God for God. Bless you. Awesome. Praise Jesus. You've been given authority, and he was falling like lightning. Bless the Lord. But when we rejoice, it's not about our exploits. It's about Jesus. And what he did for us. That's the greatest miracle. And that's why we worship God. Do you see this? The rejoicing isn't because of anything we do. It's about what he did for us. And that's what Jesus is saying. Like, don't forget what he's done for you. Rejoice about that. Your names are written in heaven. Isn't that beautiful? Your names are written in heaven. They're down before the foundation of the world. God knew this. God knew this. And beloved, your names are written in heaven. Isn't that amazing? I was reading the genealogies in 1 Chronicles, I feel this like, I need to read it. But how do I read it? And then I read this. Your names are written in heaven. And I was struck with this. You know, God loves recording things. You know, so heaven isn't just this like, hey, you're either in or out, join the club. Woo! No, you are either in or you're out. You're either in as in your name is there. Like you show up to your party, John Maves. Yep, you're in. Your name is written down. Isn't that beautiful? Beloved, when you gave your life to Jesus, it was confirmation. Your name is in heaven. It is recorded for all time. All time. Your name is written in heaven. So what do you have to fear? What can man do to you? Your name's written in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. That's why we rejoice. Our names are written in heaven. And when our life is done, it's done. But our names are written in heaven. This just gave me a lot of perspective and a lot of hope. Thank God for awesome ministry. Thank God for lives changed. Thank God for power and authority over darkness. Awesome. But thank God that I've been saved, that I have a home waiting for me with my Jesus forever and ever. And I'm not there yet. But it's as if I am because my name is written down, right? My name's written down. You know, I live by the Rural Cemetery in Santa Rosa, and I always am just struck by how profound an experience it is to go through cemeteries and all the names, the who's who. And I was thinking about this. You know, these people are dead, but God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living, you know? He's the God of the living. So here's to life everlasting And here's to our names written in the book of life. Rejoice in that. Beloved, can we stand up? We're going to close in worship. This is about, you know, Jesus was, this was so profound. This was a profound moment for the disciples. This was the first time that they tasted ministry like this, as one sent out from Jesus. And it was awesome, and it was miraculous, and it was powerful. But Jesus was saying, don't forget the first things. Don't forget the first things. Love ministry, sure, but love Jesus even more. Amen. So let's worship, let's pray. If you need prayer for anything, I encourage you to go to the back. Let's respond to Jesus. Amen.